The opinions expressed on this program are those of the hosts and their guests, and not of Blue Sky Broadcasting.
All right. Hi again, everybody, and welcome back aboard our local hour here on my favorite two AM radio stations in the entire nation. Of course, 1450 AM KBFI in beautiful Bonner's Ferry, 1400 AM KSBT in soon-to-be springy Sandpoint. Because spring is right around the corner. And daylight savings time is this weekend.
Wow.
This weekend.
Oh, my gosh.
How cheerful is that? Anyway, it's North Idaho Thursday. I'm your host, Bob Witte. Time for our monthly edition of Ricky's Top 10, the sort of live radio talk show where we take a look at a top 10 list of some sort. We've done top 10 foods, top 10 books, top 10 TV shows, top 10 favorite episodes of Keeping Up with the Kardashians.
We have not.
I'm just kidding on that one. I have not once seen that show, and I never will. Anyway, we've been doing this for over 5 years now, and today we're doing a top 10 list on a subject that we haven't covered before.
Amazingly.
Yeah, that's amazing. It's our top 10 favorite movies about dogs.
Yeah.
Sounds like a real dog of a show, if you ask me, or maybe it'll turn into a dog fight, okay, or just a howling good time.
Wow.
I don't know, but I'll probably end up in the doghouse one way or another.
Okay.
Hey, I do know that Ricky is here with her list, and Eric Plummer, Sandpoint's own famous handball state champion player, musician, father, former sports writer, and one of the most frequent guests on our show, and he is so much of a movie buff that he bought his own movie theater in the middle of
the
pandemic.
Yeah.
Which was great, and I'm glad that he did that. Anyway, he's with us once again, so we'll get to that dog and pony show here in just a minute. But first, what else is going on or going on all week long here at the festival at Sandpoint's virtual wine auction is happening. The silent auctions, you just go to festivalatsandpoint.com.
So is the wine real or the wine is virtual?
The wine is real.
So you don't have to just get virtually drunk. You can actually...
Yeah, you can you can physically. But it's not just wine. There's all kinds of great stuff that you can bid on.
Cool.
And that's happening until Saturday, which will be we'll do the live portion. Be me and your buddy Jack from KRFY.
Oh, nice.
And Paul Gunter and Allie Baranski. And that'll be happening at 7 o'clock this weekend. Again, for more information, go to festivalatsandpoint.com. Pondere Winery this weekend. Dwayne Parsons is telling stories and playing a piano. Eric right now is answering his phone.
Yeah, this is the last time Eric Plummer is guest hosting our show.
Also this weekend at Pondere Winery, Ricky, guess who's playing?
Bright Moments Jazz.
Bright Moments Jazz. Yeah, Arthur and the guys will be there.
Such a relief.
On the 11th, also this weekend, Scott Reed, your former guitar teacher, will be playing there. IPA this weekend has Bright's Moment Jazz as well. Yeah.
What
so
a
that's
weekend.
All happening.
What a weekend to be in Sandpoint.
Yeah. What's happening here? It's Ricky's top 10 for this month, and Eric Plummer's with us as our top 10 favorite movies about dogs. And we are back. Ricky's top 10 for this week, this month. We used to do this every week.
Every week.
And so we pretty much thought we covered every subject we could possibly cover in 5.5 years. But this is one we've not done.
Yeah.
You know, we've done Christmas movies, we've done action movies, sports movies, we've done every kind of movie.
We did movies, winter movies that are not Christmas movies.
Yeah, that was a bit of a stretch.
Very specific.
But this one is our top 10 favorite movies about dogs, and we have learned from our 5.5 years of experience that if we get on a really good subject and all three of us have a list, we're not going to get through a top 10.
Definitely not.
So we've either, like we did with the comedians last month, we did two shows out of it, which was really fun.
Yeah.
But this was Eric's idea to do this show, I think because there's a movie about a dog playing at his theater, right? Right this very moment.
Clever.
We'll talk about that.
Okay.
But he insisted that we all have our list, and let's just do our top five.
Yeah. I like it. I feel like when you've been a guest as many times as Eric, too, you could make demands like that. Like, tell us exactly how to do the show.
Well, it's fun when Bob comes up with his, you want to hear his, too. So
anyway, tell us about Dog, the movie that's playing at Sandpoint Cinemas.
Yeah, it's been pretty popular. Channing Tatum, it's, you know, it's kind of one of those comedies with a heart. A couple people have said it was a bit of a tearjerker, but...
Mm-hmm. That's my problem with Dog movies.
You know, it's, yeah. Most dog movies tend to be somehow.
Yeah.
But, it's like the only movie, like animal movies will make me cry almost as much as sports movies. It's like those two movies guaranteed I'm going to cry at some point.
For me, way more.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ricky can't get through Caddyshack without just bawling.
Never. Yeah.
It's really hard. So should everybody who loves dogs or...
Yeah, it's been really popular. It scored well on Rotten Tomatoes and... Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's and then NAMI is also hosting a free showing of Dog. But I think it'll be after this runs. But it's pretty cool. So free tacos and any movie about dogs is a winner in my book. So.
It's just great to get back to the theater because a lot of us haven't been going out and doing stuff. And I enjoy going to the matinees, especially at your place.
Great. I've been doing that too. Go to a matinee that's less crowded. And I just love going to the movie theater. It is always going to be one of my favorite things.
Yeah. So anyway, let's get to it. I guess if it's okay with you because it's your show, I'll start and then Eric and then you. So my number five is the aforementioned Caddyshack.
Where's the dog in Caddyshack?
I'm actually racking
it's about a gopher.
You would, you know that old rich couple, the one he sees in the shower, that old lady.
Uh-huh.
I'm pretty sure they had a poodle. Okay, never mind.
It's your whole list, Caddyshack.
I'm just kidding about cat. My real number five is a classic from 65 years ago, 1957, Old Yeller. Which, talk about a tearjerker.
Talk about a tearjerker. That is like the crying movie.
Yeah, I mean, if you feel like, you know, you have an abundance of water in your body, you want some of it to come out through your eyes, go watch Old Yeller. So it's about a yellow lab named Old Yeller. So check it out.
So the Caddyshack reference was apropos because Bill Murray says, in Stripes, who cried at Caddyshack, or who cried when Old Yeller died?
Oh, perfect. But, just like in rehearsal.
Yeah.
And then my wife said last night about Old Yeller, because I was considering it, but she said it scarred me and every other kid in America.
Exactly. Yeah.
Good one.
It is a good one. So my number five is Reservoir Dogs.
Oh,
it's not just it's dog movies or titles with... No, I'm just kidding.
It's whatever you want.
I'm messing with you. My number five is also a bit of a tearjerker. It was a 1972 movie, and it's about a coonhound named Sounder.
Yes.
And it's kind of a powerhouse movie. It's about sharecroppers and the Great Depression. They have no food and money, and they're just trying to survive. But, you know, like many dog movies, it's ultimately a boy and his dog and the bond that they share. And
it was
Cicely Tyson and Paul Winfield both were up for Best Actor. It was up for Best Picture. It lost to The Great French Connection, which good movie. But again, it's the dog gets shot, but it lives, and it just, I don't know.
Oh,
my gosh. It's one of those powerhouse movies that's with it. You know, it's obviously a subject that's can be tough to watch at times, but...
And it's Depression era, and the dog, I think, runs away, and guess what happens at the end?
They find the dog! I'm crying already. I've never even heard of this movie.
Would like it.
Yeah.
It's really good.
Okay. My number five is not as sad or serious. I do cry at it, because it's a dog movie, and of course... Spoiler alert, the dog gets shot. Number five is Turner and Hooch from 1989. Tom Hanks, Mare Winningham. I love her. Reginald Bell Johnson and Craig T. Nelson. Like, great cast. Classic, you know, 80s movie. You know, Tom Hanks has 3 days left on the force of a small town before he moves to a big city. And then gets the dog, Hooch, is the only witness to a murder. And so it's him trying to, like, help this dog and help each other, and they blah, blah, blah. Cry every time. It's great. And I just love Tom Hanks. It's one of those movies I can't watch a lot because it is sort of a stressful, like, it's not like a relaxing, fun day
stressful
movie.
Dog movie?
It is. But I also just love Tom Hanks being stressy. He's hilarious. And it's like the height of Tom Hanks, the, you know, famous underwear scene with the dog in the middle of the night. Classic. It's great.
Spoiler alert, I love that movie too. More on that later.
Yeah.
Okay. Gotcha. All right, my number four is Die Hard. She made several of our lists recently.
There's no dogs in Die Hard. Rachel Del Johnson is in Die Hard.
First of all, in Die Hard, all those people at that Christmas party or whatever it was, some of them had to own dogs. And then, you know, that nice cop who eats the Twinkies.
Reginald Del Johnson,
yeah. You know, with a heart like his, he had a dog at home. So I think that it qualifies. But actually,
I don't.
Okay, disqualified. I'll go with Homeward Bound.
Oh, my gosh.
Or the 1993 version.
Yeah.
There's an incredible journey with Homeward Bound. And it's one that you and your siblings grew up with, and it's one that I actually watched and, of course, cried. And
cry every time.
It's just a great movie, and how they pulled that off with those animals,
that's
pretty amazing.
And a great cast. Michael J. Fox, Sally Field, Don Ameche is the voice of Shadow, which I never really realized.
Oh.
And, of course, Jean Smart. I love her and everything. But, yeah, that movie, as soon as Sassy falls in the river, it's a sob, like hard sobbing. I can't even watch the end of the movie because I'm crying so hard after that scene. It's just ridiculous. When they find the little girl in the woods and Shadow keeps her warm. Ugh.
Don't tell everybody what happened.
It's too much for me.
Oh, Homeward Bound. Good one.
I love that movie. Yeah.
Dog movies are evocative. That's what.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about it.
Your number four.
All right. My number four is Al Pacino in Dog Day Afternoon. I'm just following Dog's lead here.
We kind of think alike.
Right?
It's actually Best in Show.
That's on my...
Okay. It's in 2000. It's the mockumentary crew, the same ones that did Mighty Wind and spoof folk music. And this spoofs a dog show, and it's five people and their dogs. And I particularly liked the director Christopher Guest, his Harlan Pepper character, and his bloodhound dog. I thought he kind of stole the show there, but. It's really just a movie about the neuroses of dog owners.
Yes.
And imagine at a Westminster or one of those type of shows, which I actually watch now on occasion. If you had told me that when I was 20, I would have laughed at you, but I like Westminster.
I'm still laughing at you.
But 93 on Rotten Tomatoes.
Great cast. Again, everyone in it. Parker Posey and Jennifer Coolidge.
Michael McKean.
What's his name with the eyebrows?
Oh, Eugene Levy.
Eugene Levy. Yeah. Oh, it's great.
It's funny, though. The dog names are funny. I've had some old people that named their dogs Kurt and Elaine. And I always think it's funny when your dog names are like more people names
than
dog names. But it's to each his own.
Good one. In fact, you mentioned Rotten Tomatoes. I looked at that and several other dog movie lists, and that's number one on several of them.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Okay, so, cool.
Good one.
Interesting. Yeah, speaking of my honorable mentions list, I chose to edit out cartoon dog movies just to make this list a little bit easier to narrow down. So I just wanted to point that out. Okay. There are some cartoon dog movies that I like that are not on here.
Sure.
My number four from 1991, based on the Jack London book, White Fang. Ethan Hawke. Seymour Cassell is barely in it, but he's one of my all-time favorite actors in everything that he's in. Highly underrated. But yeah, that movie, again, it's an epic journey. It's very, you know, out in the Alaskan wilderness. It came out when I was a kid, so I have that association with it.
Did you read the book?
No.
Okay, I didn't either. I'm just curious.
Well, in that case, yes, I did read the book. I know everything about it. No, I never did, but it just is, it's one of those movies that I grew up with and I cry every time, and it's so great. Mm-hmm. And I actually use that reference all the time. Like when you're trying to get somebody to leave and they don't want to, I'm going to white fang you and start going, get out of here, throwing things at them. It's my thing that I say all the time. Yeah, that's my number four.
Well, very good. We are going to take our second break. And when we come back, Eric Plummer obviously is here with us. It's Ricky's Top 10 with Ricky and myself. We're doing actually our top fives of all-time favorite movies about dogs or featuring dogs or whatever. And we'll get to our number three right after this. Are back, Ricky's Top 10 for this week or this month or however you want to look at it. I'm at my number three already.
We all are.
But we all have honorable mentions too.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, my number three is Blazing Saddles. And I haven't seen Blazing Saddles in several years. I've seen it like 50 times, but not recently. And I can't specifically remember a dog in it, but there had to be. I mean, it's the West.
I don't think there is.
They're prairie dogs. There had to be prairie dogs.
Sure.
There. Okay, actually, my number number three is a tie. It's a tie between John Wick.
Okay.
Because remember, he does
the
have
whole
a,
thing is based he on
doesn't,
a dog.
He doesn't want to have a dog, but he ends up with a dog, and
the whole thing starts because they kill his dog that his wife gave him before she died. Like, that's the whole basis of the movie.
Gotcha. So, so that's a good one. And then one I watched, probably 2 years ago during when I was stuck at home with Netflix is Eight Below.
I've never seen it. It's a Paul Walker movie, though, right?
It's a Paul Walker movie.
Yeah.
Well, it takes place in Antarctica. It's kind of sad, actually, but these dogs and trying to survive, and who knows how cold it was, 30 below or something.
Or 8 below.
It's a good movie to watch in the wintertime, like when you're stuck in the house and it's 5 degrees outside. It's like,
yeah,
I can relate to this. So that's my number three.
That's a good one.
And my number three, and it wouldn't be this show if I didn't have this movie on my list, is Rocky. Because
Why?
He has
what?
Because of Butkus. No, I'm just kidding. I do. That's
this is like your
it's my number one all the time, but not on this one, even though he does have a dog. Bob stole my thunder. Unfortunately, my number three is also Eight Below.
Oh,
so great minds think alike.
I need to watch this movie.
But again, the late Paul Walker. They're researchers, leads a research team. They can only get to this place in Antarctica by dog sleds.
Mm.
And they have to make an emergency exit, and they leave the eight dogs behind. So it's just kind of heartbreaking, actually leashed up, because they're going to come back and get them.
Right.
Well, so 6 months later, Paul Walker just can't let it go, and he kind of makes a dangerous attempt and goes back and gets them, and six of them actually survive the winter. Eating seals and
oh my gosh, chained together
birds and they escaped their chain one by one.
Good.
But it's I love it. I think it's but again, it's like all dog movies. It's about the bond between the dog and the
people. And it's frustrating because you're rooting for him. Go save the dogs.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, but they didn't have much of a choice. It's a good movie.
But it does have a pretty good ending, a happy ending. It's two of the dogs.
Like all dog movies, just about all dog movies.
Yeah. I'll check that one out. You also stole my thunder. I've never seen Eight Below, so it's not that. But my number three is John Wick from 2014. It's one of my all-time favorite action movies. I love Keanu Reeves. Everyone's in it. It's just a great cast all around. Like, there's so many people in it with little small cameos. And I love the premise that the whole thing is about him getting revenge for his dog. And then he finds a dog and that becomes his part of his whole persona.
Yeah.
It's just a great man and his dog movie. And it's also a really good action movie. So that's my number three.
Yeah. Can I throw a quick aside in?
Absolutely.
Do you guys have dogs?
Not currently. I grew up with labs.
I've had six labs in my life, three yellows and three blacks.
Yeah.
All right. So full disclosure, I am an avowed dog lover.
Okay.
I currently have three beagles.
Wow.
So do they howl all the time?
We've not much. We've kind of, broken them of that. But they, by nature, they do to bark at squirrels and all that stuff. But
my brother has a poodle, and I walked into Evan's brother's a couple weeks ago, and one of the baristas went, "I met your niece." And I was like, "Ellie, my actual human niece's name." And she went, "No, Jean-Paul, my brother's poodle." I'm like, okay.
That's a good name for a dog.
Yeah.
It's French.
Exactly.
That's funny.
Labs are perfect for North Idaho.
Yeah. Because
they love any kind of water. I mean, yeah. In the wintertime, if it wasn't frozen, they will jump in the lake. And there's so many great places to hike and walk with dogs around here. And Sandpoint is a pretty friendly dog town these days, letting them in parks and things like that. Yeah. So how old are your beagles?
Let's see. 5, 3, and 5 months.
Oh, little baby beagle. Oh, my gosh.
Beagle.
Super
so
cute.
Yeah.
Well, your kids are grown and gone, right?
Yeah. Yes.
So you got to have dogs.
Yeah. Yeah. Fill the void.
All right, we are at
number two.
It's number two, my number two.
Your number two
already?
Yeah.
Jeez.
I know.
It's Apocalypse Now.
I've never seen it. I feel like there's not a dog in that movie.
I think there's a part where some of the native people to where it's taking place may be eating dogs.
Oh, okay. What kind of a movie is this?
There's lots of rats in that movie.
Have you seen Apocalypse Now?
I have not seen Apocalypse
Now. So they shot Marlon Brando from the neck up.
Oh.
And it makes a crazy effect, but he was like showed up way out of shape and
wow.
his lines. And,
oh.
But somehow it worked. It actually worked incredibly
the movie's
effectively.
Incredibly kind of depressing and scary and weird. And true story, I was on a boat on the Smith River on Maui, I think, and it was super tropical. It might be Kauai. Mm. And, you know, it was kind of drizzling rain. It looked like Vietnam. Huh. And everybody, all us tourists on the boat, were completely silent, just looking around. I go, day 13. You've ever seen the movie? And some lady turns around and goes, shut up! So you will get that if you're familiar with the movie because it is kind of freaky. Okay. Anyway, that's not really my number two.
Okay.
My number two, I did go with a animated one, even though you said it's against the rules.
No, it's my personal rule.
Oh, gotcha.
That's all.
Well, my number two is the 1955 classic. It's actually older than me, believe it or not. Lady and the Tramp.
Oh, okay.
So good.
It's just a cute movie.
Do not watch the remake of it that they just put. They did like a live action remake. It's terrible. Watch the classic.
Unanimated version of
it? Yeah. It's not good.
That doesn't sound good.
Yeah. There's a couple movies like that. But Lady and the Tramp, you know, it's just a classic. And it, you know, it has the family thing. And John Darling.
And that song, who sings it? He's a Tramp. But I love him.
Yeah.
One of the dogs in the pound. Oh, it's so good.
Yeah, and it's all pretty good, and all the dog personalities have kind of like human traits, like, oh, I can relate to that old guy and stuff like that. Plus, my oldest grandson, he lived with me when he was about 4 or 5, and he insisted on watching that or Snow White every single day.
So my little brother, this was his nap movie when he was about that age too.
Yeah.
He would watch Lady and the Tramp to go to take his nap every day.
Lady and the Tramp.
Yeah.
It's like I've seen that movie probably more than any other, more than Caddyshack.
More than Caddyshack.
Yeah.
And that's saying something.
Anyway, it's a classic. If you haven't seen it in a long time, I think you would enjoy it, especially if you have grandkids.
I may have to watch that because the only thing I can think of that movie is when each of the dogs is slurping the same
spaghetti.
Piece of spaghetti.
Yeah.
That is the famous scene.
Yeah, of course. That's probably why.
That's a cute one.
But all right, so my number two is the aforementioned Turner and Hooch.
Ah, okay.
And it's far-fetched. You know, Tom Hanks is a detective, a dog's owner gets murdered, but the dog witnesses it, but it's a funny dog.
Yeah.
Just the scene where it's slow motion and his slobber is just
slobber.
Like
flying
around, but it's got some elements of the Odd Couple in that Tom Hanks is this fastidious like and the dog just wrecks everything in his house and his cars and slobbers all over and he just so it's kind of funny and of course it does it packs a like all dog when a dog dies in a movie it packs a wallop.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so this one is no exception. You know, the dog gets shot. It doesn't, you know, not spoiler alert if you haven't seen
it. It's a 40-year-old movie by
but
now.
Like many times.
Well, tell us what does happen to him. I can't picture it.
He gets shot, but he has puppies with Mayor Winningham's dog. So in the end, there's like 12 little hooches.
And one of them
around.
Looks exactly like
Hooch.
Hooch did.
Yeah.
So like just like old Yeller, there was a puppy to ease the pain for the audience.
Exactly. Yeah.
This you go from crying, at least you end with a smile because there's, it's just one of those, you know, I enjoy watching it. I've seen it a handful of times and it's easy.
Check that out tonight.
Turner and Hooch. Yeah. Have you not seen it?
I don't remember it.
Wow.
An interesting fact, I found out about this when I just looked it up real quick, that Touchstone Pictures paid $1 million for the rights to that.
Wow.
Which at the time was the highest ever paid for a movie.
Wow.
Which is kind of crazy, but yeah.
What is the typical price these days?
Oh, man, I can't even imagine.
I don't know. A lot. My number two, thank you for asking, is from 1934. I had to put one in there. And it's not a dog movie. It's a bit of a stretch, I admit, but the dog is my favorite part of this movie, The Thin Man, starring William Powell and Myrna Loy. Their dog, Asta, is this little terrier, and he just is in the whole movie. Doesn't really have any parts. It's not about a dog. It's about a detective solving a murder case, which is also just one of my favorite Christmas movies of all, like the best Christmas scene, Christmas morning. He also punches Myrna Loy in the face at one point. It's just like a hilarious 30s movie. The outfits are great, but the dog is just adorable and charming and my favorite part of this film.
What's it called?
The Thin Man.
So every show we have about movies, you have to make one up.
Yeah, no, I just made this one up.
There has to be one. You and I are like,
this is a very famous
back
movie.
In 1841, before movies, there was actually this movie made about a dog.
It wasn't a silent picture, was it? I'm just kidding.
It's a very famous film.
No, I've actually heard of that. I don't know if I've ever seen it. We are already at our number one.
I have a lot of honorable mentions.
Okay,
that
good.
We can go through.
My number one, and it's kind of like You're a Thin Man, and it's old.
Yeah.
The Wizard of Oz.
Oh, I didn't even think of The Wizard of Oz.
Toto!
Oh my God!
Are you kidding?
Wow.
He's
you
like
serious?
The star of the movie.
I'm not serious. That is not my number one.
That's but a good one, though.
You actually fooled me on that. I thought you might have been serious.
It does. The dog didn't have a big enough role. Okay.
Oh, really?
Anyway, my real number one, and I mean, maybe you guys haven't even seen this. I just watched it again the other night in preparation for this show. Mm-hmm. It's called The Art of Racing in the Rain.
Never heard of it.
From 2019. I'll just give you the quick rundown. It's a race car wannabe driver. He's actually a mechanic who wants to be a race car driver. And they live in Seattle, so hence he knows how to drive in the rain.
Right.
And he has. He doesn't plan on getting a dog, but one day he's on his way home, and there's people have a basket full of puppies, and this one just jumps right up at him, and he goes, "Oh, aww. I guess I own a dog," and he names it Enzo, which is like an Italian race car driver name, and it's all told from the dog's point of view. You know how they do that in movies and books.
Which, we've learned in our book club that we do. You love this.
So I didn't know this till after I watched it the other night. It's Kevin Costner who voices the dog, and you don't even know it.
Interesting.
I mean, he does a great, great job. Huh. And it's just a great story, and the dog is really cool and is the best dog in the world, like everybody's dog kind of is, and is just determined, keeps telling himself that he's a good dog. He can come back in another life as a human.
Aww.
And that just sets up for a real tearjerker of an ending.
Oh, my gosh.
So, The Art of Racing in the Rain, it's from just a couple of years ago, and it's on Netflix or one of those. I don't remember.
Okay.
But
that's a good one.
Thank you. I knew it'd be one that you guys didn't have.
And I'm a firm believer that if reincarnation is somehow real, that people who are real good to dogs will do well
Well, they say when you die and you go to heaven, it's filled with dogs.
Yeah. Aww, all dogs go to heaven. That was on my honorable mentions.
All right, all right.
Your number
one. So my number one, all right. So it is surprisingly a romantic comedy, which is strange, but I find this movie enjoyable because for a couple reasons. It is The Truth About Cats and Dogs. I don't think it would have made your guys know. Now, it's 50...
Janine Garofalo?
Yeah.
Yeah, and Uma Thurman.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so you touched on two key themes of this. So anyway, it's 85% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Wow.
So it's not a crazy stretch here. But I love this movie because it's far-fetched, it's hard to believe. So it has elements of Cyrano de Bergerac,
right,
and that there's, you know, a supposedly beautiful and not as beautiful, and, you know, there's a confusion,
yeah.
And it's a little bit of Three's Company and the,
right,
and the weirdness that, like, that the whole thing is based on a misunderstanding. But so Janine Garofalo, and I didn't say Garoppolo, you'll notice, Bob. No Jimmy G reference there.
Yeah, I'm not talking about him right now.
Janine Garofalo steals the movie. She's a radio show. Her show is called The Truth About Cats and Dogs. And she's, you know, it's an animal talk show. And there's some funny lines. You know, she tells one caller, it's okay to love your dog. Just don't love your dog. And there's a funny scene where she's at a party and she takes a chip of salsa and spills a big dollop on her shirt. And then she's like, of course. And the stain is there the whole scene. So it's kind of funny. But what I find interesting about this movie, that why it doesn't jibe with me, is because Janine Garofalo is supposed to be this not good-looking.
Holy,
and Uma Thurman
yeah.
is supposed to be like this incredibly hot. And
right.
for my personal taste, mind you, I find the kind of opposite. I used to have a huge crush on Janine Garofalo.
Yeah.
So I find that
Jen,
hard to believe.
Jen, are you listening to this today? Jen,
nobody
are you out
could
there?
Possibly love her for her looks. I mean,
right.
come on now.
In 90s beauty standards, very much Uma Thurman was the standard of beauty at the
yes.
time. And Janine Garofalo is short and
yes,
not
yes.
pencil thin and has brown hair.
That.
It's like really just
I
capitalizing on very generic stereotypes.
Yes.
So I get it, but I also agree with you. Like, it wasn't that she's not hideous. And she has a much better personality than Uma Thurman does in the movie.
And anyway, there's a misunderstanding, but they ultimately find the right, you know, he falls in love with her for who she is, not
right.
what she looks like. But it's got, you know, Cowboy Junkies, Ben Folds Five, Robert Cray, Al Green, great soundtrack.
Great.
And a fun movie. So that's my number one.
I like it.
That's one thing I forgot to mention about The Art of Racing in the Rain is that's all George Harrison music in the back in the soundtrack.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and it's like, I really,
that's great.
Soft part of my heart is like,
yeah.
oh, wow, that was a great song.
I love that.
Yeah.
My number one. Should I do my honorable mentions first or after my number one?
It's your show.
Okay. I'm going to do them now. I was racking my brain when I was thinking of White Fang. I was like, there's another movie that came out around the same time that's not White Fang. Iron Will was
yes.
not nearly as good, but it's same kind of movie. Animated movies. I love The Secret Life of Pets. Was actually hilarious. All Dogs Go to Heaven, Lady and the Tramp. 101 Dalmatians, the original cartoon.
Yeah.
I liked the 90s live action too with what's his name in the other one? Glenn Close. Fox and the Hound. Snoopy Come Home. We didn't even talk about Snoopy, but that's a great one. and then there's also, I had Old Yeller, Best in Show. We talked about Beethoven from when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Was my sister Paula's
I
favorite movie. Yeah. Like Turner and Hooch, it has a lot of dog drool as a main character in the movie. I think that's all my. That was all my.
Well, we should mention Call of the Wild, which
right.
was originally with Clark Gable.
Oh, really?
1935. I didn't know that till I looked it up.
I've never seen
it. It was remade in 1972 and again in 1993.
Yeah.
It's a great. It's a great one, obviously featuring dogs. Marley and Me.
Yeah, that's one of those movies that
I still haven't seen it.
Before you watch it, you know it's going to be sad.
Oh,
and
yeah.
it's really just more of like a rom-com. It's just not my, it didn't work.
It's
for
a
me.
Little too cute.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Exactly.
Isle of Dogs.
That was on my honorables too.
Yeah. yeah.
It's a Wes Anderson.
Yeah. One I haven't seen, but it made every list I looked up. Hatchie, A Dog's Tale.
That actually is on my honorable mentions. I only didn't put it on because it's too sad. It's just too, like when I wrote it down or when I looked it up too, I was just like, yeah, that movie, no. Like, no, I can't with that movie. I just cried too much. It's too sad.
And another one was called Finding Rin Tin Tin from 2007. I haven't seen that. Have you?
Never heard of it.
I didn't even know it existed.
Yeah.
But I remember, you know, we grew up Rin Tin Tin reruns and stuff. But that one was new to me. And did you have anything else on your...
Another tearjerker that deserves mention here is Where the Red Fern Grows. I remember as a kid, being super sad when,
yeah,
when the, of course, when the dog dies. But yeah, I think we've touched on a lot of the ones that wouldn't were close for me to winnow down in, on my yeah. list. So.
All right, so my number one, I know everyone out there is dying to hear. We've talked about it already. Homeward Bound, The Incredible Journey. I talked about how I cry every time. I know exactly when I'm going to cry. I've seen this movie countless times, like way too many times to even talk about. And every time, I'm just sobbing at the end. Like, I feel like I'm back to being a little kid. A spoiler alert, when Shadow falls in the pit, I can't. It's so sad and so good. And the little kids are so cute in it. And like I said, Jean Smart is in it. Great animal voices. And I think it's one of the most successful, because there's different, there's like CGI dogs. And one of the ones where you just hear like their voices in their head. And this one, I think, was one of the most successful voiceover for the pets, because when they're they have something in their mouth, they have something in their mouth like the voiceover does. Like, it makes it feel like they're really talking to each other, but they don't make the, you know, dog's lips move like yeah, they're talking. Yeah. Like, it's just a very, they do it really well. I'm not saying that.
It's hard
very
not to
well,
be corny
but,
when you do that, though. It's better yeah. to not just have the thought and the yeah. voiceover rather than try to move the dog lips.
Oh, yeah.
So, what movie is this?
Homeward Bound.
Yeah, you never said that.
I did say it at the very beginning.
Is it a Simon Garfunkel do the title soundtrack to that? I'm just kidding.
I love the part, you know, with the Hershey bar and the pool. Oh, no, that's Caddyshack.
That's Caddyshack.
And it was a baby room.
It's a baby
room.
Come on. Okay, all right.
You picture that up. And he takes a bite out of it. Ugh. Yeah, pretty doggone classic. So tell me, does Shadow get out of the... Yeah.
He does. They think Shadow doesn't make it because he's the oldest dog. It's Don Amici's voice. And then, so all the kids are like crying and petting their animals. And then Shadow comes running over the hill. And the little boy runs up to him and he's limping. And he's like, says the kid's name in like a really sweet way. And everyone's like, Shadow. It's a whole thing. I'm crying just talking about it.
Nice. That's
it's
our,
a magical movie.
Our sort of a version of Ricky's top 10 favorite movies about dogs or yeah. featuring dogs. And Eric Plummer's been our guest. Eric, of course, used to be the local sports writer here, but now owns Sandpoint Cinemas. What's playing and what's coming?
So what's opening, probably the biggest, obviously, is The Batman.
Mm-hmm.
It's in the darker vein, like similar to Joker and The Dark Knight.
Are these a continuation of the Dark Knight story, or is it going to be another origin story?
You know, I wish I could answer that. I haven't seen it yet, so I'm not 100% sure.
Does it have a dog in it?
Definitely.
I can still remember this going to see the Joker with my daughter when I think she was maybe 17 or 18. And if you haven't seen that, it is hard R and graphically violent and in a realistic,
it's
memorable way.
Yeah.
And we walked out and there was maybe a 9-10-year-old in there, and my daughter was like, she's gonna be scarred for life.
Yeah.
So one's PG-13 though. That one was R. So this one is, I'm sure, a little more kid friendly. So
speaking of dog movies, not at the theater, but my sister just walked in on her 6-year-old watching Cruella.
Uh-huh.
It's sort of a 101 Dalmatians origin story. I thought it was a great movie, but again, it's a Disney movie. It's on Disney. Kids can watch it, but it's not a kid's movie.
No.
Like, it's really not.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's one of those movies, too, where you're just like...
And every time a Dalmatian movie comes out, I read about this once.
Yeah.
Everybody wants one, so the sales of Dalmatians go up, and then a lot of them end up shelters because
it's a difficult dog.
They're not the most like labs are the most family friendly dogs. Dalmatians are, you know, not to diss on Dalmatian owners, but they're a little less friendly, I think they're so.
Well, right now, because of the movie that you have running right now, Dog, there's been a run on German Shepherds, and it's like
really?
You gotta be really, I mean, they're great dogs, but you gotta be really dedicated and train those right, or they're not really great dogs. They're not a kind of dog you can just put in the backyard and ignore.
Right.
I mean, they want service and do stuff.
Yeah.
So that's what's going on. And Eric, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
Top 10 or top 5 times 3 or
top 15.
However we want to go.
Always fun.
Top 15. And do you have any ideas for future programs?
No. Well, no, I feel like it'll be pretty hard springtime next time we're doing a show, like in a month. So I feel like we'll probably have a springtime outdoorsy related some kind of show. I don't know yet.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Eric, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Ricky, always a pleasure.
Yeah.
That's it for this week. Till next week, I'm Bob Whitty, and we'll see you later.